scripture reading tonight, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we consider the 12th verse tonight as the text. 1 Timothy chapter 4, remembering that the theme of the book of Timothy is proper behavior in the Church of Jesus Christ, and now in chapter 4, Paul, by inspiration, is speaking specifically to Timothy as the pastor in the congregation in Ephesus concerning his conduct as the minister. So we read 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Thus far we read God's word, and we consider tonight verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul is, in this chapter, writing to Timothy, his spiritual son and his fellow laborer in the gospel, giving him instruction on how to be a good minister of the gospel. Paul has told him that in order to be a good minister of the gospel, he must put the brethren in remembrance of the truth that the creation of God is good, that every creature of God is to be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word and prayer. Paul has told Timothy in this chapter that in order to be a good minister, he must preach such truths and all of the truths of Scripture, including in verses 7 and 8, the truth that godliness and that exercise unto godliness is profitable, that exercise unto godliness is far more profitable than physical exercise. To be a good minister, Paul has told Timothy that he must labor, To be a good minister, he must not be lazy. He must not put in the minimum amount of time necessary to do his work as a minister of the gospel. In a sense, he must see himself as a full-time minister, one who gives his whole life to the labor and to the work of the ministry of the gospel. Not only that, to be a good minister, Timothy must be willing to suffer reproach for the sake of the gospel. The good minister puts the truth of the gospel before his own comfort in life, before his own name and reputation. Though people may despise him, though people may speak evil of him, though people may hate the truth that he preaches, though they may persecute him and mock him, the good minister faces that opposition and continues to suffer reproach in preaching the gospel. Now, if Timothy, and you understand not only Timothy, but myself and other ministers do these things, then we will make a good beginning in being a good minister of the gospel. So far, Paul has focused on the public ministry of the pastor of the congregation. And it's not surprising. To be a good minister, the pastor must be faithful in his public ministry, in his work, in the ministry of the gospel. But that is not all. Now Paul turns in this text tonight to the personal life of the minister. Paul says to Timothy, to be a good minister, he must personally live the life of a believer, and he must do that in such a way to be an example to the congregation in Ephesus, so that he can set a pattern for the members of the congregation in Ephesus to follow, that they might also be believers. And so there is much instruction in this Word of God, obviously, to me as the pastor of the congregation here in Peace Church. To be a good minister of the gospel, Paul has reminded me that I need to labor faithfully in every aspect of the ministry, in the preaching of the gospel, in the teaching of catechism, in the leading of Bible studies, in the visiting and the counseling of the members of the congregation. That's not all. Paul has reminded me tonight to be godly in my own personal life as a believer, so as to be worthy of imitation. But this is a word of God to you too tonight concerning your relationship to your pastor as the congregation. This is a word of God to you tonight to not only listen to the words or the teaching of your pastor, but also to watch, to pay attention to his doctrine and to his life as a believer. But then there's this too. You, as the people of God, are reminded that God is interested not only in what you do on the Sabbath day publicly in front of other believers, but the purpose of the minister being a godly man in his own personal life, that you as the people of God, the congregation in here in Peace Church, will also be godly in your personal lives. So let's hear this word of God tonight that speaks to the pastor and about the pastor as an example of the believers. That's the main theme of the passage, an example of the believers. And we'll notice in the first place, what does that mean? That the pastor is an example to the believers. And then secondly, we will consider the manner in which the pastor is to be an example to the congregation. And then finally, we'll notice that this is a command to the pastor. Be thou an example. Be an example, Paul says to Timothy. Let's notice, of believers, he says in the text. He does not say, be thou an example to the believers, although that's certainly included here in this passage. The believers are so to see Timothy as an example to them so that they follow his example. But when Paul words it this way, be an example of the believers, he is telling us what Timothy is to be an example of. He is saying to Timothy, as a pastor, you hold an office in the church. It's an important office. You preach the gospel to the people of God. But don't forget to identify yourself with them as a believer. That's who you are, Timothy. You are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a believer in the truth of the Scriptures. As a believer, you are to speak, and as a believer, you are to live your life in the midst of the congregation. And you are so to live as a believer that the people in Ephesus can say, Pastor Timothy believes in God. And we can see that in his speech. We can see that in the way he lives his life. So that if we want to live as believers, we want to know how to do it, and we want to actually put it into practice that we live as believers, we can imitate him. We can copy him. We can speak the way that Pastor Timothy speaks. We can live the way that he lives, and we will be following in the footsteps of a believer. We understand the idea here. It's not a complicated idea, the idea of an example in the text. If a child desires to be an accomplished basketball player, he or she will do well to follow the example of a good basketball player, to watch the way that player practices, to watch the way that player plays the game. Mimic, imitate, do what that player does and be a good basketball player. Or if someone wants to learn how to paint, whether that's as an artist or paint homes, that person will do well to watch an accomplished painter. Watch his technique, watch his method, watch the way he works, and then to be a good painter, imitate, mimic that painter. Well, the Word of God says, the minister is not only put in the congregation to preach the Word, he is put in the congregation to be a good example to the believers of a Christian, one who is anointed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that members of the church can say, our minister is a believer, and he lives a godly life, and we can imitate him. Now, this does apply to the minister's private life. God does not put ministers into the church only to be visible in their public work in the congregation. It is true that ministers are very visible in the congregation, exposed to the congregation, in the pulpit, in the society meetings, in many other ways. But the private life of the minister is to be visible to the congregation too, so that the minister does not live in the midst of the congregation as a hermit who is separate from the congregation for the most part, but then pops up now and then to do some public work in the congregation. No, the minister's personal life should be visible, Paul is teaching here in the text. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul is saying the minister needs to open himself up completely expose everything in his life to the congregation and the members. But it means this. The congregation should know more than just how the minister preaches sermons or teaches publicly. The congregation should know enough about his life that, say, someone who doesn't know that pastor comes to one of the members and asks, "What kind of a man, what kind of a character does your pastor have?" And the members of the congregation shouldn't say, "Well, I don't really know. I only know him as a pastor. I only know him as a preacher." No, the members of the congregation should be able to say something about that pastor's life in his home, even. About what kind of a husband he is if he's married. What kind of a father he is if he has children. Is he a believing husband? Is he a believing father? Paul is saying to Timothy, the congregation in Ephesus should know you and your life as a believer well enough to see you as an example. Well, this means, yes, that the minister's family lives in a glass house. It means that the parsonage, not just the minister, but that the life of his wife and his children is visible to the congregation. But I want to point out that that's true now not only of the minister. That's the focus. Let's not forget that others are to be examples in the congregation too. The office bearers mentioned in chapter 3. They, in their personal life, are subject to the inspection of the congregation and their wives and their children. The apostle said that in chapter 3, that one of the qualifications is that the man is a godly man in his home, in his marriage, in his child rearing. But understand, the purpose of that examination is not to throw stones at the glass house, to hold those men up to higher standards and their wives and their children, to judge them harshly. But the purpose is so that those people who are placed in those positions in the congregation may be a pattern, an example to the others of godliness. So that the rest of the congregation can say, by God's grace, if we follow the example of the pastor's marriage, if we follow the example of his family, we will have a believing and godly marriage and family too. This is very important. The word example means not only pattern, but literally a mark left by a blow, a strike. We would say an imprint or an impression. I think of my children and their Play-Doh. I haven't seen it out for a while, but it will illustrate the point. There are tools that they have to stamp that Play-Doh, to leave a mark. Those tools are patterns. If the desire is for the Play-Doh to be in the shape of a flower, the tool that is in the pattern of a flower is selected. Or to make something else, another tool with another pattern is selected. And that Play-Doh is soft. That Play-Doh is easy to stamp, to make an impression upon. Well, that's a vivid way to think about the impact that a minister has on a congregation and the office bearers, and the impact parents have on children too as examples. You leave a mark. you make an impression. This is a reminder that there will be an imprint. Someday, 30, 40 years from now, maybe not that long, the congregation in Ephesus will be able to say, this is the legacy, this is the imprint that Pastor Timothy has left upon us. And the congregation of peace will be able to say that too. And the point is, the pastor and others who are in that position of setting an example must recognize there will be an impression. There will be an imprint. I remember a professional basketball player once who refused to see himself as a role model. He didn't like that idea. He didn't want to think that children looked up to him and that children would pattern their lives after them. And part of the reason for that was he wanted to be ungodly and live an immoral life, and he didn't want any responsibility for any children copying him. Well, I need to be taught tonight that God doesn't give me any choice in that matter as a pastor. He sets pastors in the congregation so that they will, by their teaching not only, but also by the way that they live their lives, leave an impression. And we all know that. That's why we pray for the pastor. That's why we pray that we have godly pastors. We know that an impression is left on our children through the preaching. We know that an impression is left on them through the catechism instruction. We know that an impression is left on all the members of the congregation through the work of the pastor. And now the apostle says that's true also of his life and of his family's life. An impression is made. And that makes me tremble. Because then the question, and this is the question that makes me tremble, and others too who are examples, what is the impression that I make? What is the example that I set for others to follow? The fact is that there are ministers, and I'm not going to go into any details here, who have not left a good impression on the congregation, who have done damage to the church of Jesus Christ in certain places, who, as the fruit of their ministry in a church, have driven people perhaps from the church. Perhaps they have driven the young people from the church because people have seen that he's a hypocrite, not because his teaching was bad, but because his life was disorderly and disobedient. Or maybe he left a bad impression because there are people who followed him in his disobedience and sin. But there are also ministers who've left a good impression, a good mark on the church. Many years later, the members of the congregation, and you can find examples of that, still talk about that minister. Still talk about what a blessing he was to the congregation, to the youth, to the young children, and to all of the members of the congregation. What a good teacher he was, not only from the pulpit, but also how he was a man of godliness and spiritual integrity. He led the believers to see that he practiced what he preached. And so, I am called to be that kind of an example. So are the elders, and so are the deacons, so are the parents in this congregation, and the teachers. You need to lead the life of a believer so that others will look at you and say, that's how I ought to live. That's the kind of life that I should mimic and imitate, so that I may be a believer too. Now, this does not mean, and we have to be clear on that, that this Word of God is directing us tonight merely to follow a man. Follow the pastor. Do as he does in all instances. Do as he says in every case. No. When we look at the manner now in a moment of how this example is to be set, we'll notice that this example is to be set by the pastor following the Word of God. The pattern is God's own law, God's own will. Inasmuch as the minister follows the pattern of the Word of God, he is setting a pattern for the people of God to follow. That's a worthy example. Follow that example, the Word of God says. But in as much as the minister strays from that Word of God, if he in any way walks in sin, this Word of God is not telling us to follow that example. But rather follow the example of the man who walks according to God's Word. And then you are following not the example of a mere man, but of Jesus Christ Himself, who says in this Word that is His Word, come and follow Me. Be My disciples. That means be My followers. And so ultimately, if we follow a minister who is a good example, we are following Jesus Christ. Now let's consider how that example is to be left. How is this pattern to be set? Generally, let me start here by saying something that I know I've already touched on, but that needs to be said. This means that from a certain point of view, the minister must live on the same level as the congregation. The manner in which the minister will set this example is not by setting himself up on a pedestal, not by making the members of the congregation look up and say, there is the minister, he's way up there and we are down here. That would be discouraging to the congregation. That would be to say, you can't follow my example because you're not on the same level as me. But Paul is very definitely saying to Timothy here, you're a believer like the people in Ephesus. You are to live with them. Let them know you as a man, as a believer. And you know them so that they can see your faith in action in your daily life. Well, I'm reminded then by this calling to be an example, to know you. The apostle is speaking about the relationship that Timothy and the congregation in Ephesus to have. Now I'm reminded that even though the public work of the ministry is busy, this too is necessary for the work of the ministry. Know the congregation. Sometimes, I confess, I could do better, have a better attitude. The apostle reminds me tonight to do that. Yes, there are sermons to write. Yes, there are many other things to do, articles to write, visits to make. But this is important to know the congregation, so that they know you. But I'd like to, if I can, and I think I may, on the basis of this passage tonight, call you to seek to know me and come to me and take opportunity to say to you, if in any way, as the pastor of this congregation, I put you off, held you at arm's length, acted like I was on a pedestal, or maybe too busy. Don't let that put you off. Come to me. Let me know you. Get to know me. And if, in any way, I have put myself on a pedestal, I'm just a believer, a sinner, who sometimes needs to be admonished too. And if you don't want to do that, talk to one of the elders. They can admonish me. Because they oversee, you see, Paul is saying to Timothy, they oversee your preaching and your conduct of life. But now the point is that in order for this example to be set, there needs to be a relationship between the pastor and the believers. And then secondly, understand, we're going to come in a moment to six things that the minister must exemplify in his life. Six spiritual virtues and strengths that must characterize the minister. But understand, the point, the goal, the motivation is not at all to bring praise to the minister. But rather, the goal is that the minister may serve the congregation. If I may again point to parents or to teachers in the school, it's important they understand too that they live exemplary lives, godly lives, that they practice what they preach. And that's not so that the children or the students will say, "What a godly parent or what a godly teacher you are." But it's in order to be able to teach and to drive the truth home to the hearts of the children and the students. Because we understand, we all do, hypocrisy won't work. Teaching one thing and doing another thing isn't going to drive it home. In order for the congregation to be built up in the teaching concerning the truth of God's Word, the congregation needs to see that that's not only a matter of the minister's preaching, but a matter of his life. So the purpose here is to serve the truth and to serve the congregation. In order to do that, the minister must now, we turn to the six things the apostle lists. He must be an example in word. Understand, that refers to speech. We saw this morning that if a person is living according to the pattern of God's Word in the ninth commandment, he's going to guard his tongue from all evil. And he's going to speak the truth in love. Now, I preached that this morning to you as a congregation. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying, teach the congregation what that means in your life. Teach them how to apply that. Teach them by your example when you speak to the people, not only publicly, but now privately, individually, in other circumstances. As the pastor Timothy, Paul says, don't gossip, don't backbite, don't slander. Don't speak of anything filthy or perverse. Use your tongue primarily to praise God, even in your everyday speech. Use your tongue to promote the truth of the gospel. Use your tongue to build up the neighbor and so be an example in your everyday speech. And then Paul says to Timothy, be an example in conversation. That means, now, not in speech, that's what we think of as conversation, but in behavior. Believers are taught by their ministers to be godly in all of their conduct and in every area of life. But the Apostle Paul, who was a good example to Timothy, understood that that needed not only to be preached, but to be lived. So that he could say in Philippians 2 verse 17, brethren, be ye followers together of me. And he could say, not only listen to what I say with my tongue, but watch how I behave. Watch what I do in my life. And as I live, as I serve God, follow me, imitate me. This is where the Ten Commandments come in. Not just the ninth that was preached this morning, but in the Heidelberg Catechism, the minister preaches the Ten Commandments. Keep these as the way to show God gratitude for your salvation. Now, when Paul says to Timothy, that's well and good, preach that to the people of God. Now show them what this means in your life. Put that into practice. Show them how on a daily basis you live according to God's law. You personally. How disastrous that would be if a minister would pound the commandments of God upon the people in the congregation and then they found that he wasn't keeping them himself. Don't do that. But be godly as an example in your behavior. And then the apostle adds, in charity be an example. That is, not only in helping the poor, but in love, literally. Minister Timothy surely did this. Faithful minister preaches much about the love of God in Christ Jesus. He speaks about the loving forgiveness of God. He speaks about the unconditionality of God's love. He speaks about the unfailing character of God's love. He speaks about God's love in action as kindness and help, love that is long-suffering. And then he teaches the congregation that is to characterize your love in your relationships with other people. And he has to counsel people that way too. And two people come into his study. Often two people who are at odds with each other, fighting with each other, bickering with each other, not showing the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the minister has to say, this is how you're to love each other in Jesus Christ. Now Paul says to Timothy, be the example of that. Teach the people by loving that way in your own life. Show the people of God that you know what it means to love with forgiveness. Show the people of God that you know what it means to love in the way that you don't strike back, that you don't seek revenge, that you don't hold grudges against other people. The minister does that, and he can do that. If he does that, he's not a good example of the love of God in Jesus Christ. The minister is to put into action the unconditional forgiving love of God in Jesus Christ. And I want to highlight here, he is to love especially the church and the people of God. This epistle is about the church. Paul loves the church. Timothy gives his life for the church. Calls the people of God to love the church. Now the minister needs to be an example of that in his own life. It's not only on Sunday when he's preaching that he speaks of the love of the church. But the church is a part of his daily life. He loves the people of God in the communion of saints. Be an example in love. The minister should also be an example in spirit. Seems that the apostle here is speaking about the inward personal aspect of faith and believing in Jesus Christ. The minister must show that his service of God is not because he's expected to serve God, not because he's paid to serve God. And he must be careful that's not the impression that he leaves. By being faithful in his public ministry, but then unfaithful in his private life. No, the minister should be an example of a man who's deeply and devoutly spiritual. He guards his tongue and speaks the truth in love because It's in his heart. And he is careful to keep the commandments of God and live his life in an orderly way because it's in his heart. He loves to serve God. He loves to demonstrate the love of God in his life too, in his marriage, in his family life, and amongst the congregation. Because he loves God and he's deeply spiritual, I think what's involved here too is he's an example of what it means to be spiritual minded. The congregation needs to see that the minister doesn't love the world. He's not earthly minded. He doesn't love money or riches or things or hobbies. But he loves the kingdom of heaven. And he minds the spiritual things of God's kingdom. That is, after all, what the minister preaches to the congregation. This is what he wants of the children. This is what he wants of the members, that they will be willing to forsake the world, that they will be willing to forsake goods and family and friends, because they're spiritually minded. Now, Pastor Timothy, Paul says, you be an example of that. This will demonstrate your sincerity, your spirituality. And then Paul says, be an example in faith. The minister preaches this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Word of God, that it is true. This is the content of the faith. This is what you must know and be convicted of, that this is the Word of God. No, Paul says, be an example in your own life. When you have opportunity to show you believe that the Scriptures are true, you believe every doctrine, not only from the pulpit, but on the street corner, in the store, when you have an opportunity, show that you are convicted. The virgin birth, Jesus is the Son of God, that God is the Creator, and show how that faith applies to everyday life, in applying the Word of God, which you believe is true, to your life. That also includes that faith, the humility to confess sin, to see oneself as a sinner saved only by grace through Jesus Christ. Demonstrate that, Paul says. In your life, Timothy, demonstrate to the members of the congregation in Ephesus that you're not a legalist, a Pharisee, that you're not holier than thou. You know what it means to confess your sin on a daily basis and find your salvation only in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's faith. And then be an example in purity. That refers to sanctification. This is similar to conversation or godly behavior. The apostle says to Timothy, demonstrate that when you have faith, the fruit of that faith is that you live a holy life. The fruit of that faith is that you turn your back on all that is sinful and unclean, and that you live a life of holiness before God. Now, that doesn't mean the minister has to act like he's perfect. If he does that, he will instead be not a good example, but a bad example. This is the way to live a pure life. First of all, to confess sin, to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then in thanksgiving, turn from that sin. Now, Timothy, show the people what that means in your daily life as a believer. That's the command. These things do and be a good example, the apostle says to Timothy. That command includes the beginning of the verse, the command, let, the apostle says, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young pastor. Some say he was in his 20s, yet some say he was in his 30s. Doesn't make much difference. Either way, there were members in the congregation who were much older than him. Some who were old enough to be his parents, some maybe even old enough to be his grandparents. And the warning to the congregation in Ephesus is, don't reject, don't despise, don't dishonor Timothy and the word that he preaches just because he's young. But rather recognize that spiritual maturity doesn't have anything to do with age. We understand that, don't we? There may be older parents, older teachers, older pastors who, because of age, aren't worthy of following because they don't set a good example. The apostle is telling us as the church, as he's telling the church in Ephesus, how one lives, the fruit one bears in his life is much more important than age. Because it's quite possible for a young person to be spiritually mature beyond his physical years. But even though there's a warning to the congregation not to reject or despise anyone, and now that refers to the minister, to the office bearers, because of age, you'll notice that this word of God is not directed to the congregation. This is to Timothy. Let no man, let no one, literally, despise thy youth. And you might ask, what control does Timothy have over the attitude of the members of the congregation? How can he prevent anyone from despising his youth? Well, what the apostle is saying to him is, Timothy, make sure as a young pastor, you live a godly life as a believer, so that the members of the church can see your spiritual maturity, and then your youth won't even become an issue. So if the members of the church begin to complain about your youth, you can say to them, you don't have any reason to complain. And you can be confident, Timothy, that you've been a faithful pastor. But if they begin to complain because you have been a bad example, they have every right to complain. And you are worthy of being despised. And so the command to Timothy is, be a good pastor, Timothy, by being a good example to the people of God. And then by God's grace, they won't despise you. Then by God's grace, they'll receive you. They'll receive your word. They'll embrace you. They will love you and they will pray for you. And that comes as a command now to you, beloved. Implied in this word of God is a command to you to pray that your minister may be a good example. Pray not only for him, for his wife, for his family. Receive him. Ask God's grace for him to be a good example. And then the command to you is, if your pastor, your office bearers, your fellow believer is a good example to you, follow that example. That's the point, you know. The point isn't for you tonight only to look at the pastor and keep looking at him and ask, Does he do these six things? No. The point is that God is putting you in this direction. Now you go. You pattern your life after the Word of God. You live according to this example of purity in speech, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in faith. Live your life in holiness before God. You are to be the servants, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the anointing of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that gathers us and equips and qualifies us to be Thy people, as prophets, priests, and kings. We pray, Father, then, that Thou wilt cause us to be faithful as His disciples, that we may apply this word unto our hearts, that we may follow after Him. And we thank Thee, too, for the means of pastors, of office bearers, godly parents, fellow believers who love and know the truth, who may be able to encourage us to follow after Jesus Christ. Lead us in the way of righteousness. Deliver us from sin. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.